One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. We are 1 week away from the Vallejo Funk Festival. Of course, I'm talking about the Average White Band. My man, Brent Carter, coming to town, of course, Vallejo, California, next Saturday, the 9th of September. Of course, 12:30 p.m., live in Vallejo, California, Maryland. It's going to rock. Lydia Pence will be there. Lydia Pence, of course, the lead singer for Cold Blood. She'll bring her Cold Blood band with her. Of course, she was with Tower of Power, did some things with him back in the 70s. Straight up, the Average White Band, as I said, with Brent Carter, can function with Felton Pilot, and of course Michael Cooper. They're going to rock and roll, and of course the headliner is going to be Morris Day and the Time, taking us back to the days of Prince, of course, and Purple Rain. Straight up, he was Prince's enemy, of course, in the movie, but they were best friends in real life, so that's going to be a hell of a deal. The 9th, and of course the 10th, they've got another concert, but straight up, we're talking about the Funk Festival, September the 9th, Maryland, 12:30. If you, I'll put up the code a little bit later. There's a $10 code, so you can get $10 off for your ticket if you want to go through the Jeff Trigger website. Bottom line is, of course, going to rock and roll, no doubt about that. Now, back to the sport of boxing, of course. Wow, what can I say? Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence, they're going to do it again? I mean, why would you want to, like, take a car running into a tree again? Why would you do that again? Why would you do that again? Why would you want to have two car accidents in a row? Why would you? Money, greed. No, maybe ego. Bottom line is, Errol Spence is done. I mean, you stick a fork in him. I mean, when you looked at his reflexes and the fact he had no coordination, he looked like a ghost. The bottom line is, he didn't look nothing like the old guy that Errol Spence was before that car accident. Of course, that car accident, I think, in 2019, I think that made him toast neurologically. That's my opinion. I'm not a neurologist, but I don't think you need to be a brain doctor to figure out if you tossed out of a car at 150 miles per hour and look like that, as we're picturing on WBC TV, you're going to be in trouble. Straight up, this is WBC TV. Of course, on the other side of the break, we'll bring in Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, to talk about the fight game and more on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Do you use pesticides in your job? Specifically Roundup. Roundup, made by Monsanto, contains a chemical called glyphosate, which has been linked to cancer. If you've used Roundup and you have cancer, you may be entitled to a cash award. Over $10 billion has been set aside to pay users of Roundup who've been diagnosed with cancer. Time is almost running out to file your claim. So if you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've used Roundup, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And time to file is almost gone, so please call right now.
800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. That's 800-535-6078.
Are you kidding me? Gas prices are up again? Somebody has to do something.
Well, someone did. That's why I use Upside.
Upside? What's that?
It's a free app that pays you back real money for every gallon of gas or diesel you buy. I just earned 25 cents back on every gallon of this tank.
Hold on. So the Upside app is free and you actually get cash back every time you use it? No strings attached?
Yep, it's awesome. Check it out. It only takes a couple of minutes to sign up.
Instead of just watching your dollars go into your tank, start putting money back into your wallet with the free app from Upside. With the price of gas today, it's big news and big money. To cash out of your Upside cash, just transfer it to your bank account, PayPal, or a gift card. Upside users have already earned over $200 million. Now it's your turn. Download the free Upside app and get cash back on every gallon of gas. Use promo code GAS11 for an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's code GAS11. Use code GAS11 for an extra 25 cents per gallon back in your first fill up. Cashback's not available in gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
This is Ron Barr. Be sure to check out Sports Byline and the 8 Side Network's outstanding 8-part podcast series, Behind the Barrier, Voices from the Negro Leagues. Hear Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and others share their stories of the Negro Leagues, the challenges that the players face, and the importance of Negro League baseball to the game's history. Behind the Barrier is available now on the iHeart Podcast Network and all podcast platforms, including Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Stitcher, and Pandora. Check out Behind the Barrier.
Funk on down to Mare Island Dock of the Bay Festival in Vallejo with Morris Day and the Time, Confunction, Average White Band, and Cold Blood with Lydia Pence September 9th. Doors open up at 12:30. Parking is free and ferry service is available directly from San Francisco to the island. Buy your tickets at ftpresents.com. That's ftpresents.com.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Some smooth T.O.P., of course, the mighty Tower of Power. Check them out, towerofpower.com. We take it from the West Coast to the East Coast, of course, and bring in Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. And, Sokka, I got to ask you straight up, of course, to Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence. Errol Spence is invoking this rematch clause. I mean, am I wrong in saying this will be a second car wreck, or this is a car wreck that's maybe preventable?
It can be preventable, of course, if Errol Spence does the prudent and best thing for his career and for his life is to retire. Because I don't see this fight, this rematch, any different than the first fight. I don't see it being more competitive. I think Terrence Crawford probably stops him earlier. Because the first round, he gave him away. He gave the first round away. That was probably the only round you could probably give to Errol Spence, and after that it was just a steamroll job by Bud.
Okay. I'm trying to think of great rematches, this and that. You know, outside of Ali Frazier, not too many guys won the second fight after dominating the first fight. Actually, Joe Frazier didn't dominate the first fight. What I'm trying to say is, usually don't come back in the second fight and, like, there isn't a metamorphosis. You come back and you're a new guy. Basically, you're a little bit more done.
I agree. I mean, especially from the mental standpoint, the confidence of the winner is higher than it was in the first fight. More recently, Jermall Charlo, when he beat Castaño convincingly in the rematch, that's one that comes to mind. I thought De La Hoya in the second fight against Shane Mosley could have got the nod. But it's true. I mean, it's very rare that rematches go any different.
Except me and Dave Garcia. I never forget. They stopped this fight in Redwood City, California. I went into Redwood City. Dave Garcia stopped me in the second round with a left hook, dropped me this, and I got up and said to myself, I can't continue. Bottom line is, so I said to myself, it was my first three-minute fight, my first open fight. So I waited about a year and a half or so, and then we got into some semi-tournament, and we were in Redwood City. It was his hometown. I was going to fight him, and I beat the snot out of him. I mean, beat him so bad, he was cut above the eyes, below the eyes. So when they stopped the fight, I said to myself, I won the fight, right? So they raised his hand and said I was disqualified. They never took a point away. They never said nothing. So I just had to air that beef right there. But bottom line is, sometimes you do prevail in the rematch, but most of the time, you just don't. I mean, physically, emotionally, mentally, you can't get around. Even when guys get robbed. Think of Jeff Fennec when he got robbed in that first fight with Azuma Nelson. He never was able to reach that crescendo, that mental high or that physical high ever again.
The biggest rematch reversal, Lennox Lewis and Haseem Rahman.
Yeah, but that was a bit of an upset to begin with. That was a bit of a fluke.
And
I think that Rockwell won because Lennox Lewis was filming Ocean's 11 or Ocean 12, something like that. He was in Vegas partying, and the fight was in South Africa. So when he finally got to South Africa, he was like, yeah, you know, I've seen Rockman, right? You know what Rockman's famous for, right? Not winning the heavyweight championship. You know what he's famous for, right, Sock?
Something in the trunk?
Yeah, three dead bodies in the trunk of his car. Come on, man. You got to be kidding me. He never explained that. I said to him three or four times, I approached him about it. Man, talk to me about them dead bodies. I mean, I guess I wouldn't want to talk about it either if the dead bodies were in my trunk. But Rockman was a flash in the pan. We had him on the show, of course, a couple hours after he beat Lennox Lewis. But the rematch, of course, was all about Lennox Lewis. Speaking of Lennox Lewis, how come we don't mention him 1980 Olympic gold medals? How come we don't mention him with great fighters? Why is he overlooked?
I think a big part of the fact that he's British, you know, that I think that, you know, that's definitely a reason. I think also the fact, as good as Lennox was, and even amongst his contemporaries, if you just go by records and accomplishments between him, Holyfield, Mike Tyson, just on pure merit, he supersedes him. But he was just kind of like a boring guy, you know, at least, you know, not much personality outside of boxing. A gentleman, very nice guy. I met him a couple of times.
Some hooker told me he was a gentleman.
I
interviewed a hooker that happened to spend some recreational time with both Mike Tyson and Lennox Lewis. I had her on the air. I thought it was pretty cool. Anyway, of course, I kept
it. Is that a mutual opponent?
I kept it PG, but she said that Lennox was a gentleman and Mike wasn't.
I'm not surprised, especially at that point in Mike's life.
Oh, yeah. We're kicking dirt on Mike Tyson. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Let's switch gears. This rematch, of course, the rematch being activated, go back to it, by Errol Spence. You know, he got flipped out of a car at 150 miles an hour, suffered some neurological damage, without a doubt, didn't have any coordination, didn't have any speed, any snap, didn't really have anything, was falling over his own feet, didn't have his legs under him. I mean, you can't just attribute that to straining to make weight. I mean, because Crawford strained to make weight, too. I mean, obviously, Crawford looked like he was dead at the weight.
Yeah, I mean, they fought at an even weight. You know, they both made the scales pretty, you know, on the first try, from what I understand. I think it's just Errol Spence's
ego, lifestyle.
Yeah, listen, I think it was a perfect storm. I don't think Terence Crawford will ever be that great again. That was just, all the stars were lined up. He looked brilliant. He looked like an all-time great that night.
But now he wants to fight Canelo, and Canelo sort of like opened the door to that. What do you think about that?
It's there to be great. I mean, how can he knock it? You know, Terence Crawford knows he's 30, 34, 35. You know, the father time is, you know, it waits for no one. And this is the biggest fight in boxing.
Probably, you know what's sort of cool about that is you can beat up on old slow guys. I'm serious.
You got the hands.
When you're a small, fast guy, if you're sharp, you can do that Ray Robinson type of style, of course, and beat the bigger man. I really think you can. I think that Terence Crawford has a shot at being Canelo Alvarez. Then, of course, Canelo has got to take on the Charlo brother, the 154-pound Charlo. And you know what? You think Charlo's a live underdog. I think he's a live underdog. The boxing world doesn't think so. The boxing world thinks he's going to get rolled over like, you know, like this is a steamroller type of thing, and Canelo's just going to romp on him. I don't think so.
I think offensively he should be able to create some problems for Canelo. The question is, what's going to happen when Canelo hits him? You know, Canelo's used to fighting bigger men. He's been doing it for a few years. He's shown to all out of every knock on Canelo Alvarez, he has a granite chin. He takes a good shot. I think Jermell will be wise to not exchange too much with Canelo, maybe frustrate Canelo, use a good jab. But Jermell is a little bit of a hothead, you know, and he likes to get his back, and that's what I think he's going to get in trouble. I think that's where he probably loses. I think he'll have measured
temperament. I think he'll realize what's going on. Of course, you move up two weight classes. The last guy that moved up two weight classes, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. PhD, was Kell Brook. Moved up from 147 to 160, took on Gennady Golovkin, got his face broke. So it's probably not a good thing moving up. Listen, weight classes are for a reason. Unless you're like a superstar like Roberto Duran or Sugar Ray Leonard, this thing, jumping up a weight, or Tommy Hearns, jumping up a weight probably is not the most intelligent move in boxing.
Yeah, I was having a conversation with a mutual friend, if you allow me to name drop, Raul Marquez, and he talked about Bazooka Gomez, where he went up in weight 3 pounds and got destroyed by Salvador Sanchez. I mean, historically, those weight jumps don't, you know, end well. Alexis Arguello met his demise as he went up in weight. So weight classes are there for a reason, unless people are using special
vitamins. You stole my thunder there for the 40-minute break. It was going to be the Salvador Sanchez, Wilfredo Gomez battle. Of course, Battle of the Little Giants. September of 1981, I cut the police academy, and I went down there, and believe it or not, I ended up on the closed-circuit television broadcast. And thank God nobody from the police department was a boxing fan, because you're not supposed to call in sick at the police academy. You're supposed to be a straight-up type of guy. But I had to go see this fight, man. There was absolutely no doubt about it. I had to go see this fight. Gomez weighed in at 130 pounds that morning. 130 for a 126-pound title fight. He went to bed at 126 and a half. He woke up at 130. Figure it out.
He had some rice and beans in his sleep.
No, liquids, liquids. Mm. Liquids. Liquids are the killer. Liquids, yeah. I mean, people say to me, what do you miss most? I don't miss food the most when I'm you know, fasting or anything like that, as far as fighting is concerned. I miss the water.
Well, that's the whole point of the weight drain. It's you know, extracting as much water from the muscles as possible. And, I mean, I've seen guys just do ice chips, you know, the night before a fight and the night before a weigh-in, you know, just to keep, I don't know if it's like a mental thing, just to keep their tongue wet.
The late Richard Duran, he was the Western Olympic Trials champion, I believe, in 1900. He got screwed in the Western Olympic Trials in 1984 and the regular Olympic Trials in 1984, and then went back in 1988, spent 4 more years in the amateur. It was a bad, bad move, man. But Richard Duran, he was a guy that spent way, way too much time in the amateurs, and I tried to talk him out of it. He wouldn't do it, but he went down there. He made 112 pounds, 108 pounds, and his life fell apart. He got shot to death, of course, in Sacramento, California. But at one point in time, Richard Bam Bam Duran was one bad dude. Now, before we go to the break, let's talk about the real big baby, Jared Anderson. Impressed last week?
Yes. You know, he did what he was supposed to do. He had a journeyman in front of him, and he looked good. You know, great to see him active on TV. He stays in the public eye. And I think that he's got a lot of potential. They're definitely fast-tracking him to the world title.
Okay. Speaking of Richard Duran, we went to bed. We were fighting at the Olympic Auditorium, I think, in 1984, 85, somewhere around there anyway. Bottom line is we went to bed. He was 119 pounds. He was fighting 112 pounds. He had a pack of Gatorade gum. By the time he woke up in the morning, he was 112 pounds. I kid you not. He spit off 7 pounds and slept the entire night. This guy could do it. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Remember in the beginning, when you first started to build a life for you and your family, you never imagined it would come to this. Instead of living your dreams, you're living with debt. In fact, it's smothering you. Now there's a way you can take back control with one simple call. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you qualify to receive a free, no-obligation consultation on how to get rid of that debt for good. Call the Debt Helpline now. We work on your behalf to reduce your debt. We specialize in credit cards, retail store cards, and medical bills. One simple call is all it takes to get the ball rolling to a debt-free life. Stop living with debt and start living your dreams. Call the Debt Helpline now.
800-943-2153. 800-943-2153. 800-943-2153. That's 800-943-2153.
Has your heater or air conditioner busted? Appliance broken? Computer crashed? Then you need an ARW home warranty. Home system and appliance repairs and replacements can cause stress and cost you thousands of dollars per year.
With an A-plus BBB rating and a top-rated home warranty company on Consumer Affairs and Trustpilot, ARW Home provides superior service featuring the industry's lowest service call fee. ARW Home has warranty plans that cover your kitchen and laundry appliances, heating and air conditioning systems, electrical and plumbing systems, and much more. Plus, ARW has partnered with Azurian to protect your new and used tablets, laptops, TVs, and other home tech from accidental damage and wear and tear. All plans come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. 800-867-6917. 800-867-6917. 800-867-6917. That's 800-867-6917.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
It's a certain toughness inside of Tyson Fury. Don't ever, ever, ever listen to me, Tyson. Everyone says he's awkward. He's just that. But I know him personally. He's lived with in my home, too. And he stayed with me. And I've trained Latimer. I've had them all together. He is maybe the toughest. Once he settles down on a solid training program, whichever way else, and really gets into it, it's just boxing, with his natural talent and his engaging personality and his physical size, he's going to be a big, big, big factor in boxing. I've said that after Latimer, he's going to be the next dominant heavyweight. But there's one kid in America that no one speaks of, and that's Deontay Wilder. He was on the Olympic team. He lost it, the big kid. And I've had the fortune of, he's came and trained with me before, too. And he's a big kid. He's bigger than Latimer, too. But he's got good speed and power. And I think best talent is still going to be Tyson and Deontay Wilder.
The late Goldfather, the man that started the Kronk Gym, of course, talking about the great Emanuel Stewart, talking about Deontay Wilder, of course, must-watch TV, no doubt about that, without it about that. Throw 43-2-1, of course, the two stops, the two losses to Tyson Fury, 42 KOs and 43 wins. Of course, a lot of those guys he fought weren't all that great, but the bottom line is he is must-watch TV. What's happening with his world? They talk about an Andy Ruiz fight. Where are they going with that? Tell me.
That's the name that's constantly in the mix, Andy Ruiz. Andy did a video on social media, or I believe an interview, and he basically said that he's not fighting for less than $10 million. He basically feels that they're trying to lowball him, especially if the fight's going to be on pay-per-view. Andy knows that he brings something to the table in terms of viewership, you know, with the Mexican fan base.
You know what he brings to the table? A big appetite.
A big appetite.
I mean, you opened the door for that one, but I couldn't believe it. Even Daniel in the other room, I saw him reacting before I even said anything. He couldn't believe it.
I set you up. That was a little Stockton to Malone right there. You know. it's an intriguing fight. It's a fight that, I mean, it's the easiest fight to be made in terms of a big name opponent for Deontay Wilder. They're both PBC guys. I think it's interesting. It's definitely a crossroads fight. Both guys need a big win in the worst way. So I hope that, you know, heads come together and they make that fight happen.
He hasn't fought since he took out Helenius. Of course, that was in the first round. That was in October of 2022. He fought the prior October, of course, to Tyson Fury. Got stopped in the 11th round. Before that, of course, it was the Tyson Fury guy, Luis Ortiz. He hasn't, how can I put this? He doesn't seem to be. Is he gun shy now? I mean, going after Andy Ruiz, why isn't he like going after Usyk? Speaking of Usyk, we'll get to that in just a minute. But why isn't he going after Usyk?
Well, I don't think the Usyk team is eager to make that fight. I think it's more risk than reward, you know. So I think if it was up to Deontay, I think sure, to get into the, to the heavyweight title picture, at least on that end, and then, be able to claim to be heavyweight champion and probably get a fourth fight with Tyson Fury. I think it's a good fight. I know it's easy to make fun of Andy Ruiz because of his physique. But Andy Ruiz, in reality, probably should only have one loss, because, the fight against Richard Parker, I thought he got robbed. And then, of course, he ate himself out of the heavyweight title, losing a lackluster decision.
Went to camp 317 pounds. I don't know any heavyweight champion started camp heavier than that. Maybe the big Russian guy, Volk, whatever his name was.
Oh, he was horrible. Yes, I know you're talking about. the one that fought Holyfield.
Talk about a fight, the score that smelled.
Yeah, that was like he definitely must have the record for the hairiest back of any fighter I ever remember. He looked like a caveman. That's what I remember most about him, Valuev.
Nikolai Valuev, exactly. We had we had to think about that one because he's such a household name, no doubt about that. Now, straight up, let's talk about Usyk and of course Daniel Dubois. Now, listen, I was a pain in the ass when I fought because I was always looking at the other guy and I was studying him, this and that, and I would look across the ring, we'll be good, and I would say to Chris Gomez, I would say, his cup's up too high. And Chris would say to me, don't worry about his cup. Okay, and then Chris would tell the referee, hey, his cup's up too high. And they'd pull his cup down to where his belly button was. Of course, well, I thought that Usyk's cup was a little higher than his belly button. I thought the shot was on the belt line. And the bottom line is I thought that the referee, Mr. Rabon, I thought from Puerto Rico, I thought he did a horrible job. And at the end of the day, I thought that Daniel Dubois was denied a position in history. I thought that he won clean. Am I wrong to think that he won clean and he was deceived by the boxing establishment? Do we lose Socrates? I think we lost Sock there for a second. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, talk about the big fight now a fortnight ago. The fact that Oleg Usyk took that body shot, the referee told him, he says, I'm ready. Referee said, no, take some more time. What kind of crap is that? I mean, think about that. I've never had a referee tell me, take more time. And if I heard the referee tell the other guy, take some more time, I'd be flying in the other corner. My corner would be going berserk. I don't know why. Are we back with him? Got Sock back on the line. So, Sock, tell me, the Daniel Dubois thing, I thought Dubois landed a belt line shot. I thought the cup was higher than it should have been. And at the end of the day, I thought that he was denied a position in boxing history.
I think the shot was okay, and definitely it bothered Usyk. And once it was called low, I think Usyk used a veteran move to buy time. I don't think it would have stopped. I don't think it was a shot that he would have laid down for. I'm not going to say that Dubois was robbed in that aspect. I thought the shot was clean. I thought Usyk was smart enough to do it. Listen, if Pabon made the mistake, he was smart enough to capitalize off that mistake, get himself together.
Luis Pabon.
But, yeah, Luis Pabon. It's very rare for him to be in any
Doesn't matter. Always boils, just like Tony Weeks in that Raleigh Romero fight, it boils down to your last performance. And guess what? Mr. Pabon ought to seriously think about some type of remediation course.
You're right. It's like a doctor and malpractice, right? Like, doctors, the window for error, it's very small, obviously the Dubois camp is going to spin it. They say he's robbed or whatever. But how about Dubois? Once again, his heart has to be in question.
I don't doubt that. But here's what's up. The bottom line is that you're the opponent. You're not supposed to win this fight. You get this little, you break the window accidentally. You break the window accidentally and you don't get the credit for the broken window. I just think I think there's a problem with that. And I do. And of course, if you've ever dropped, I've only dropped guys with body shots in the gym. I've never dropped guys in a fight with a body shot. But if you drop a guy in a fight with a body shot, you've hit him pretty damn hard. And Usyk doesn't seem to take too well to the body. Didn't he have some body shot issues in prior fights?
He did. When his first fight, or I think his second fight at heavyweight against Del Boy. What's his name? Tyson Fury's best friend.
They're going to mandate a rematch, and Dubois is probably not going to win, but they're going to have a rematch. That's sort of like stalling the heavyweight title another 6 to 8 months. Doesn't look like we're ever going to get a unification match for all the belts, are we?
It's still a possibility. Either way, that unification fight was going to happen next year. Tyson Fury has his hands full with Ngannou, so hopefully they're able to convoke a rematch quick.
What is that? Is that hype or is that real?
I think it's a little bit of both, you know, add some interest, you know, seeing Mike Tyson with Ngannou, but it's like taking a crash course to go and, you know, to try to get into Harvard when all you've been was a C-level student, you know.
I think you're downplaying the abilities of the size of this guy. I really do. I think, listen, he's big, he's big and he can fight and he can punch and he punches short. He doesn't punch long like Deontay Wilder. He punches short. So I think if he can get close enough to Tyson Fury to punch short, I think he can do some damage.
I think the only way he's got a chance to be competitive, if Tyson Fury is on the binge doing blow, you know, if they come out the bar, you know, smelling like Guinness and just finishing off.
Send this clip to Ngannou's camp, because when he goes to New York City, we got to have him hook up a sock.
Hey, listen, if this motivates him, so be it. There's no way. Listen, Tyson Fury could come straight out of the tavern, you know, still with fish and chips on his
breath.
Real quick,
I'm running up on a hard break here. I got like 20 seconds. Liam Smith and Chris Eubank Jr. tonight. It's a rematch. Should I watch that?
There's nothing else to watch, so I think it should be a better fight than the first fight.
ESPN,
I'm going with Eubank.
ESPN, ESPN Plus. Socrates, have a great week. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother. Salute.
The great Socrates Palmer, Boxing's PhD on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-345-2789. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-345-2789. That's 800-345-2789. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-345-2789.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call, because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Funk on down to Mare Island Dock of the Bay Festival in Vallejo with Morris Day and the Time, Confunction, Average White Man, and Cold Blood with Lydia Pence September 9th. Doors open up at 12:30. Parking is free and ferry service is available directly from San Francisco to the island. Buy your tickets at ftpresents.com. That's ftpresents.com.
Are you looking to sell your house? Call 1-800-SELL-FAST to request a free all-cash offer. We can buy your house in days, and you don't even have to clean or fix anything. There are no commissions or closing costs, no agents, no open houses, and no banks to deal with. Call 1-800-SELL-FAST or visit sellfast.com to request your cash offer. There's no obligation. Call 1-800-SELL-FAST. That's 1-800-735-5327. Or visit sellfast.com to get your free cash offer. SellFast is a home buyer referral service. Each office independently owned and operated.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Smooth sounds of the mighty Tower of Power. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You know, a couple weeks ago, I went and saw Donny Osmond. You're going to laugh how I tie this into boxing, but I went and saw Donny Osmond a couple weeks ago, fortnight ago, and he was great. I mean, did the puppy love thing, did all the other songs, but he was great. He really was. I mean, he brought us back in time. He did some current stuff. He's got a new album out, his 65th album. How can you have 65 records? Anyway, I didn't even know they still made records. But anyway, the bottom line is, the reason why I'm bringing in the Osmonds in is that Merrill Osmond and I think it was Jay Osmond, the two other of his brothers, of course, they wanted to get into the sport of professional boxing. So they were promoting boxing with Jerry Garcia back in the early 1990s. We did fights in Sacramento, California. We did fights in Woodland Hills, California. But the Osmonds were the money behind this. So I was like blown away by it when I found out the Osmonds were the money behind this promotion. I said, Jerry, who's backing this up? He goes, the Osmonds. I said, like the Osmonds? Like the Osmonds Osmonds? He goes, yeah, the Osmonds. Whoa, that blew me away. Of course, the Osmonds, the rock and roll. But they brought us into professional boxing. Of course, we did this card in Woodland Hills. It was the porn capital of the world. I actually spent the entire night doing some ringside blow by blow, and just not in the porn capital of the world. I probably shouldn't put them both in the same paragraph. So anyway, I was working in the porn capital of the world, and I was doing the blow by blow that night. Of course, David Allen Greer of In Living Color sat in with me. Of course, we did about an hour and a half of boxing, and that was a great, great event, no doubt about it. Of course, Jerry Garcia passed away a few months ago with Alzheimer's. Of course, he was part of that heavyweight era, of course, that when he came along, fighters from South Africa weren't recognized because of our apartheid, okay? Of course, he won the WBA title, and then he lost the WBA title, but the bottom line is at one point in time, he had, even though he was from South Africa, he had nothing to do with apartheid. I mean, he was totally against apartheid. So Jerry was a good guy to work with, without a doubt. But when he pulled that stuff off in the porn capital of the world down there, and we had all these people with implants, males and females, sitting in the first row, I couldn't figure it out at first. Because I didn't know Woodland Hills was the porn capital of the world at that point in time. I had no idea, but it is or it was at that one point in time. At the end of the day, Jerry Cosi was a good guy. May he rest in peace. Of course, light boxing schedule, not about that. But let's go back in time. Of course, to the great one. I'm talking about Salvador Sanchez. People say to me, he was the greatest Mexican fighter of all time. I think he was a tad overrated because of the fact that he died in 1982. Of course, the victim of a decapitation in a car accident. Of course, that took place when he snuck out to get some nookie. You know what nookie is, wink, wink, right? Anyway, he went out to get some female companionship, and he was sneaking back to his training camp or rushing back to his training camp because he snuck out of his training camp at 5 o'clock in the morning, and he ran into the back of a chicken truck with his Corvette, and he decapitated himself. So the bottom line is, that wasn't a pretty funeral, no doubt about that. But was he the greatest Mexican fighter of all time? Probably not. The Mexican fighters, the Mexican fans that I talked to, the old school ones talk about Ruben Olivares. I think that's a bit overrated. It's all, of course, the one-time featherweight champion, but I think that was a bit overrated. If you want to talk about the greatest fighter of all time as far as Mexican fighters were concerned, and no, it's not Canelo Alvarez. I don't think so. I think Canelo's been very fortunate in the fact that, I mean, he's won the fight. He's won a lot of fights. He's won a lot of fights. But he's always been put in fights that he was supposed to win. Like when he fought Sergey Kovalev for the light heavyweight title, of course. Everybody said, ooh, he's stepping up to 175. He's fighting Kovalev. Well, Kovalev had already been knocked out by Andre Ward at that point in time. So he was dented material. He was damaged goods, okay? And, of course, when he stepped up to 175 and fought a real light heavyweight, Dmitry Bivol, I thought he got dominated. I thought Bivol won hands down. Of course, Bivol and Artur Beterbiev, one's got 21-0. The other guy, of course, with 19-0, with 19 knockouts. Beterbiev, the monster, of course, going to fight a couple weeks ago, but he was pulled out because of an injury. I think pound for pound, he's going to be hard to beat. I mean, if the injury isn't serious, it isn't something that lingers on, I think that Beterbiev is going to be a hard guy to beat as far as 175-pounders occur. Now, Canelo Alvarez is going to do his thing with the smaller Charlo. Why isn't the older Charlo, or the older Charlo, they're twins. Anyway, why isn't the 160-pound Charlo getting a shot?
not mentally together, not physically together, close to 200 pounds. Got to get down to 168 pounds. Probably ain't going to make 168. No way, no how. Not in 6 months. Anyway, it would take him 6 months to get him, so I'm trying to say. So one Charlo is a waste. The other Charlo is a live underdog against Canelo Alvarez, going to go down, of course, September 30th. They're not talking too much about an undercard. It's never really the undercard. Of course, it was Crawford Spence, right? And this one's sort of Ryan Garcia and Gervonta Davis. It's the main event these days. It's not the undercard anymore. So when we look at this fight between Charlo and Canelo, of course, September the 30th on pay-per-view, do you want to pay $90 for that? Is it worth $90? I don't know. Of course, Canelo is the pound-for-pound star in boxing, wink, wink, that is fading away. I mean, he's just fading away. We have to put Terrence Crawford in the top spot there and maybe make the Japanese fighter, Nenoa Inoue, maybe even the number two fight, the number two fighter pound for pound. But, you know, I mean, those two, I mean, look at what Inoue did to Stephen Fulton a fortnight ago. I mean, just destroyed him. Fulton was an undefeated lad coming in who could fight without a doubt. I mean, he was no schmear without a doubt. And he went over there. He was well prepared, but in a way, it's just too much. I think pound for pound, he is probably the second or maybe even the best fighter. If you go from an Asian perspective, he's the best fighter to come along in a long, long time. Because I don't want to knock Japanese fighters for the most part I just don't want to do it. But the bottom line is, they're not known as punchers. They're not. This guy can punch. He's punched like at 115, 118, and now punching at 122 pounds. I don't think he'll move up to 126. I think he's too small to move to 126. He's a small guy. So, I mean, size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports, believe me, and I don't think Inoue is going to be able to move up to featherweight. I think the guys are just too big. From 122 to 126, look at the move that Wilfredo Gomez made, Wilfredo Gomez, of course, in 1982, he was 32-0-1 with 32 knockouts. The WBC World Boxing Council 122-pound champion. He had knocked out the longtime reigning world bantamweight champion, Carlos Zarate. When Zarate moved up in weight, Zarate was considered the best fighter pound for pound, and then Gomez destroyed him, I think, within two or three rounds. And at the end of the day, of course, Gomez was the pound-for-pound king of boxing at that point in time, 1982. He takes on Salvador Sanchez, the aforementioned Salvador Sanchez. Of course, Sanchez had just beaten up on Danny Little Red Lopez, not once but twice. Of course, Lopez, I thought, was a bit of a creation of Don Chargan's matchmaking down there at the Olympic Auditorium, him and, of course, the promoter Eileen Eaton. Don Chargan, I got to put it, Don Chargan can make a lot. Don Chargan made Willie Joran champion. I'm knocking Willie. Willie. At one point in time, Willie could fight, but he didn't fight at his peak. But the bottom line is, Don Chargan's one of those guys that could just make champions without a doubt. Of course, I miss him without a doubt. Of course, the world's, what do they call him, the boy promoter, something like that. I remember we were sitting in Sacramento, California one time, and Tony Lopez had just lost the title, and it was a riot in the whole nine yards. And he sat there with a cigarette. This is back when he smoked. He sat there with a cigarette, and he was twicking a cigarette. And he said to me, he goes, you know, you never know what's going to happen in the world of boxing. He goes, and I sure didn't expect Tony to get knocked out tonight, and I sure didn't expect a riot. Because, I mean, those Sacramento fight fans got down that night. Of course, Tony the Tiger Lopez, a champion at 126 pounds, 130 pounds. Take that back, 130 pounds and 135 pounds. Of course, went across the pond, fought all over the world. Now he's a bail bondsman in Sacramento, California, with a right-wing twist to him. If you think the news on this network is right-wing, you should listen to Tony Lopez on social media. He's a bit of a piece of work, no doubt about that. Don't forget, the 9th, 1 week from today, we'll be rocking and rolling, of course, live at 11 a.m. Pacific time right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. But at 12:30 p.m. at the Mare Island Brewing Company in Mare Island, California. Of course, Mare Island is part of Vallejo, California. Of course, it used to be a military base. I fought there a couple times. But the bottom line is, the average white man can function. Oh, man, Morris Day and The Time, of course, and Lydia Pence and Cold Blood, they're all going to do their thing. And I've got this discount here right now. If you go to FTPresents.com, and enter the special code LRI10, and then the number 1 and the number 0, LRI10, you get $10 off any ticket. That's $10 off any ticket. Next week, the 9th, of course, headlining the show. I've never seen Morris Day. I take that back. I saw Morris Day when he was with Prince, but he was sort of like the underdog, sort of like under the undercard. Bottom line is, greatest guitarist of all time, Prince, of course, without a doubt. Why do I say that? Eric Clapton said that. That's what they said. Eric, what's it like to be the world's greatest guitarist? He goes, I don't know. Ask Prince. Ooh, that's pretty cool. Speaking of Prince, Dana White, doing his thing, of course, across the pond over there in, I call him the Prince, the clown prince of MMA, without a doubt, the worst person in the world. Of course, he's doing his thing across the pond. He's got a comeback fight, and he looks like UFC 296 is going to feature Conor McGregor. Last time we saw Conor McGregor, I think he was getting beat up in the world of mixed martial arts, but he also got slapped around for a lot of money by Floyd Mayweather. Made a whole lot of money. Made some money with the world of liquor. He's got some type of vodka, this and that. And why not? He's a drunk. Sort of like the Hilton brothers up there in Canada. I'll never forget what they did. They all had alcoholic problems. I mean, their father was an alcoholic. In fact, Davy Hilton Sr., Muhammad Ali told me one point in time, I said, who was the greatest fighter you know that never won a title? He said, Davy Hilton. I said, why? He said, booze. I said, really? He said, yeah, alcohol got him. So what did they do? They all had an alcohol problem, so they bought a bar. Yeah, they bought a tavern. I mean, get your booze wholesale. Well, of course, those were the Hilton brothers, without a doubt. Now, pound for pound, Terrence Crawford, 40-0, 35 years old. The asterisk on Terrence Crawford is he's 35. But guess what? I think he's a 35-year-old guy that can still fight. I think if he steps up to 168, I think he's got a live dog. We've got a live dog with him against Canelo Alvarez, because I'm going to tell you, if he can avoid getting hit by Canelo for a few rounds and get Canelo's attention with a few right hands, maybe a left hook here and there, and get in there and don't be afraid to work Canelo to the body, I think he's got a good shot. Now, he's 35 and 40 in zip. Of course, Canelo is 33, 59, 2-2. Of course, Dmitry Bivol, the aforementioned, 21 in zip. Nanoa Inoue, 25-0. Gennady Golovkin, is it time to stick a fork in him? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, he at one point in time, I mean, just dominated boxing. I mean, people were looking at him as the next great middleweight champion. Abel Sanchez was his trainer. And then once he got rid of Abel Sanchez because of money, he sort of faded off into the oblivion. Yeah, he's still winning fights, I mean, but, you know, who cares about Gennady Golovkin anymore? Javante Davis, of course, pound for pound, he should be up there as well as for maybe the top three or four pound-for-pound fighters. I think a BoxRec has got him down to number six. Of course, number seven is Devin Haney. Devin Haney stepping up to fight the 140-pound champion, Regis Progress. That's going to take place later this year. Of course, Haney giving up the lightweight champion. Try to get an exception from the WBC to fight at 140 and still keep the 135-pound title. Look, man, move up to 140 and do your things. Clear the air at 135, because at 135 it's going to be Frank Martin and Shakur Stevenson. Of course, Shakur Stevenson, the unbeaten lad, was he out of Newark, New Jersey, now living in Mississippi or something like that, realized that the ghetto was going to kill him. He knew it. So he got the hell out the ghetto. Of course, moved his way down to Alabama, Mississippi, somewhere like that where they appreciate him. Anyway, bottom line is he stays out of trouble. And, of course, he's taking on Frank Crawford. Crawford's a bit of a hot shot. Got some good hands, some good moves, nice tattoos. I don't know if he's going to got a shot against the unbeaten young man. Of course, 2016 Olympic silver medalist. How did he not win the gold medal? I don't know. You know, there's some guys like Zach Padilla. Zach Padilla at one point in time was the IBF 140-pound champion, the junior welterweight champion of the world. And at one point in time, he was the USA ABF Amateur Boxing Federation champion at 139 pounds. So I had won two golden gloves in a row, and I was stepping up to three-minute rounds. When you step from juniors to seniors, you go from 2 minutes to three-minute rounds. So I was stepping up to three-minute rounds, and I entered this tournament, and guess who was in the tournament? Zach Padilla. He was ranked number one in the United States. So I wasn't going to go from winning the Golden Gloves, beating some schlub that's a longshoreman, okay, going to fighting Zach Padilla, the number one guy in the country, maybe in the world, right? So I pulled out of that fight. And, of course, Zach Padilla went on to not win the gold in the 1984 Olympics. In fact, didn't get a shot at it in the 1984. Jerry Page won instead. Jerry Page won the title. And all due respect to Jerry Page, but Jerry Page and Zach Padilla probably shouldn't be mentioned in the same paragraph. I mean, they're just different levels of fighters. But Zach celebrated a birthday this week. Of course, we gave him his props, no doubt about that. I think he lost one fight as pro, was undefeated as pro before he suffered that one debilitating injury, and he got out. And what's sort of cool is that he was willing to get out. Now, Errol Spence is not willing to get out, and I really feel for Errol Spence. I really do, because guess what? You can't, listen, when you beat on a drum, and then the drum skin breaks, you can't repair it. You can't fix it. In fact, you know, there's all these doctors saying that he suffers from neurological damage. You just got to look at the way he reacts to things. Of course, the way he looks at things, he's not reacting normally to things. He's not. I'm talking about Errol Spence. You don't have to be a neurologist to do that. You really don't. You don't have to when you analyze that. At the end of the day, he's damaged goods. He's going to hurt again. They hook it up one more time. I think he should just exercise the rematch clause, get a couple million bucks out of this, and say, guess what? I'm not going to fight. I'm going to retire. I'll step away, and Crawford can go fight Canelo. That's the way I want to do it. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin three or more times per day or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. That's 800-390-5160.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Check it, 57 minutes past hour. This is hour number one, of course, the Saturday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. It's only 1 hour, Saturday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, of course, coming to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, of course, live on WBC TV. And of course, Vive TV carries us on the WBC TV channel on Facebook.com. So I want to say hello to all the people out there. Of course, September 2nd, 2023, little light in the boxing schedule with Liam Smith and Chris Eubank. I think that's a rematch. Anyway, of course, it's going to go down from across the pond, a middleweight bout. That's going to be on ESPN and ESPN Plus. But I look forward to the 23rd. I'm talking about Double Z. The Chinese nightmare. That's right. Zil Zhang taking on Joe Joyce. Of course, he beat Joe Joyce the first time. People say, oh, you know, Joe Joyce is a good fighter. He's got all kinds of ability. Joe Joyce is like, he's like a robot. Joe Joyce makes Vladimir Klitschko look like Muhammad Ali. I mean, that's how fluid he is. He isn't. So bottom line is, at the end of the day, I think that Zil Zhang, if he's properly prepared, he's on the cusp of challenging for the world heavyweight title. Now, people say to me, oh, big deal. No, it is a big deal. Because if this Chinese national challenges for the world heavyweight title, believe me, ever since, I think Ali Frazier might have been the most watched fight in the entire world at one point in time as far as percentage of the world watching. Well, guess what? I think Zil Zhang challenging any world heavyweight champion would break those records and more. Per today's numbers. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, Canelo Alvarez and Jermell Charlo. Let's take a slight lean towards Charlo because of the bottom line is, you know, Canelo's starting to fade, but then again, Canelo picked him. This is a hand-picked opponent. Anytime you go out and pick a guy, it's because you think you can beat him. Of course, the boxing establishment, meaning Canelo's team, is betting that Canelo can get that gut off him, get those breasts off him, get down in weight, make 168 pounds, be strong, be fast. But the bottom line is, you know, he's 32 years old. Then again, you know, maybe he's got one or two great fights left in him. I don't know. At the end of the day, Canelo Alvarez is a pound-for-pound great, but him and Terrence Crawford is probably going to settle who the pound-for-pound greatest fighter of our era is going to be if they ever hook up. Straight up, Ring Talk Live Worldwide is a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Center. I want to thank my man, Daniel Ogden, in the other room for producing things and pushing the right buttons. I want to thank Daniela and John Jackman down there in Dallas, Texas with Vive TV. Of course, Mauricio Suleiman, you ain't returning my phone calls. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide on WBC TV. Until next time, keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Most importantly, keep your butt off the canvas of life. This is WBC TV. Thank you so much for tuning in.